Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Bethany Gilbert and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Corumdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. Today, we're talking about youth sports, and this topic came to us from an email from a listener.
So we're doing a series on idolatry right now, and one of the idols we're not talking about from the pulpit is youth sports, but we could be talking about that. So we're going to talk about both the good. The listener actually asked, "Hey, how do you guys think about this missionally? So how do you think about sports with your kids as a way of engaging with people?" And then we also need to talk about the imbalances of this. I think this is a place where Christian parents in particular need a lot of wisdom. And since we talked on a recent podcast about the need for building categories of just wisdom and formational virtues, we want to use this as a chance to talk about that. So there's a lot we could talk about related to sport, but let's start here. If you're a parent or if you have nieces, nephews, kids you babysit, people in your life who you love and care about who are under the age of 18. Sports is a really valuable character training opportunity. So I think as a Christian parent, you want to think about involvement in whether it's like a sport or an activity like dance through the lens of how does this help develop character in my son or daughter? Self-control, healthy competition, the right kind of aggression, knowing how to play with a team and work with others, knowing how to resolve little conflicts that happen, knowing how to be unselfish, knowing how to have confidence in what your skills and abilities are. These are all the kinds of things that youth sports builds in kids. And so for that reason, since my kids were little, we've really loved to have them involved in sports. For that purpose, here's why it's important to keep that purpose at the center, because youth sports is just getting insane in our culture, and the way it's becoming dominated by the idol of achievement, just like everything else is, where at a younger and younger age, there is pressure to put your kids in the most competitive or the highest level of sport and to have them play multiple sports. And I think the pressure parents start to feel is, well, if my kid's not in soccer and baseball and basketball and dance and, you know, lacrosse, then I'm depriving them somehow. You know, I'm not giving them a well-rounded opportunity. They're not getting an opportunity to succeed. And the challenge is that many of the non-Christian families around you will just sort of sign up for that because there's not a thoughtful question asking of, you know, what would be too much here? Where would this become out of balance? So I think there's a need for discernment and wisdom to understand, hey, for a Christian parent, the reason you want your kids involved in competitive activities is because it's good for them to build character and confidence. They begin to learn who are they and who are they not. How do they interact with the kid on the team who's a little bit of a bully and, you know, maybe a ball hog? How do they interact with the kid on the team who's not a very good athlete and they need to show mercy and kindness because the other kids on the team know that kid's not a good athlete and they're going to pick on them or sort of exclude them? There's a lot of really good social dynamics and character formation dynamics that happen through sport. And especially with little kids, man, it's just a great way to build simple virtues like the capacity for self-control, right? Or discipline, having to learn how to do something that's hard to learn and takes practice and takes energy and takes time. So I want to state at the outset, I have a very positive view of the importance of sport. And I think for character development purposes, it's a really critical thing. That's about all the good I have to say about it.
That's about all the good I have to say.
Wow. Yeah, I'll take you back on the character thing. The reason I love youth sports with our kids is because of the character formation, because there's just certain stuff that youth sports can accomplish that I can't accomplish at home and that the classroom's not going to accomplish and that the church isn't going to accomplish, honestly. So it's really good to have an organized environment where your kid is having to develop. And the character formation piece is good even when they have a bad coach. It's actually maybe even better. So I agree, Bob. There's just a lot of good character formation that happens.
Yeah, completely concur. Obviously, don't have kids, so not living in this reality, but think of my own story and how significant sports, team sports, were in growing in character and confidence. And I mean, so many lessons you can be traced back to playing sports throughout, you know, elementary, high school. So I'm with you, Bob, on everything you said. No argument. Love sports, pro sports, go for it.
Oh, well, cool. Let's just shut her down right here then.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to say. Well, let's talk about it from the standpoint of mission. Dusty, you and I for years have coached baseball together. We have sons that are the same age and they've played baseball together for a lot of years. And there was a season of time there for a run of 3 or 4 or 5 years where
we coached
together. We tried to dominate the Hillside Little League. And, but it really was a good opportunity. For two things. One was to build connections with families who are not church-going families, who don't share our convictions. And two, to have a fatherly presence and influence to some kids mm-hmm. who needed that in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. I'm not coaching currently. I actually miss it a lot because of that very reason. There's a lot of influence that you get to have. And you get to bring your kid along with mission. And so you get to, it's kind of this, it's similar to the med school idea, right? Like you can watch me do this, then you can go and do it. Look at this kid whose mouth runs crazy. Look at this family that needs a lot of help and assistance. And so let's give that kid the ride home. Let's pick them up if they're not going to make it to practice. You're just exposed to so much and you get to have so much influence. And the way in which you coach also, not just the character formation and the influence, is the way in which you coach is also influence, is what I'm saying. The way you interact with other coaches, I don't know if you remember this, Bob, but there was always, Chris, you would have loved this. There's always this one coach and this one team that they literally tried to cheat every year. And so we would get to the playoffs, we'd get to this tournament, and we had to have certain coaches and parents watching them because they would cheat every time. And so we had to engage that in a competitive way, but also in a like holy way, so that we didn't freak out at them and just throw a punch. But that kind of stuff too is missional. And you have influence in the city and in the culture when you're living as a Christian on the diamond or in the dugout or wherever you're doing it.
We also had arguably the worst loss in Nebraska Little League history while we were coaching together. I feel good that the team went on to the Little League World Series, so it felt okay lose to a team that was actually really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for giving us the wow. We won't tell you the score.
It was a bad
worst.
It was
so
one of those games where it just felt like
50-0. Our,
yeah, it was
27.
Close to that.
27. Wow, okay.
It was like multiple home runs hit off our kids. You know, it's just like
but
if you
went
playing,
to the Little League World Series.
If you're playing 11-year-old baseball, nobody's hitting a home run. Like once you get to 14, 15-year-old, then that starts happening. But at 10 or 11, no kids are hitting home runs except the kids we were playing against.
Except the ones going.
And
to
it's
the
so
League
demoralizing
World Series, yeah.
for your son when he's just trying to get him to throw strikes and then a kid just jacks multiple home runs off him. Just like, well, Dad, I don't want to pitch anymore. Like, this is kind of not fun.
Let me bring it back just a little bit more, Bob, because
you don't think that's what, you don't like my story?
When you start taking me down memory lane, my blood pressure goes up. I just get really nervous and I have regrets, coaching regrets. But this whole thing about mission, this whole thing about character formation, let's talk briefly about how not very many people are thinking about this when they're signing their kids up for whatever sport it is.
Yeah.
Christian or not, they're just doing the thing. And I think one of the things we want to emphasize here is that Christians have to be thinking about this proactively before they're signing anybody up for anything.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I mean, if you're asking, and Dusty, for us, you know, right, we're both pastors. And so for me, I know that most of my vocation, I'm surrounded by Christians. I'm not in a field of work where I'm working on a job site every day with non-Christians. So for me, this was a really simple way to ask, how can I surround myself with people who don't think like I do, who are non-Christians, who aren't part of my church, who aren't impressed by the fact that I'm a pastor, don't want to come and listen to me preach. In fact, they think that's kind of weird, right? Mm-hmm. Sport is the place where we could find that. And I think for Christians, it's a really easy win. It's an easy place to be on mission and just to say, how can I influence people, look for opportunities to make new relationships and connect with men, people that have real needs, whether those needs are relational, whether they're emotional, whether they're familial. We had a lot of opportunities to minister to kids that you felt like, man, this kid might not be getting a lot of good influence at home. You know, he's mm-hmm. surrounded by some pretty challenging situations. All right. So the other side of this, there needs to be a leaning in for Christians into the opportunities for mission and influence that exist through youth sports. There also needs to be a leaning away from the deforming influence that I think youth sports is beginning to have in much of American culture. you know, if you think about the fact that just sport is a huge moneymaker in our society and a huge influence, like most kids grow up looking at athletes, whether it's the U.S. women's soccer team or LeBron James, right? Or these are the people who are in the news. And so kids are fascinated by the influence these people have. And more that is pushed down lower and lower to younger ages. And so there becomes a pressure that, well, your kid's got to be on the fast track and they've got to be competing in all the sports at all the times and all the leagues with all the people.
And it doesn't matter what gets in the way of that.
Well, yeah. And what I start to see happen, and this is my, I'm always asking as a pastor, right, what are the key deformative influences that are kind of invisible to people? Most of us can see the real obvious ones, but what are the ones that, man, they shape us without us really even knowing it? And this is one of those that I start to see more and more families compromising Sunday worship or convictions about resting on the Lord's Day, or even the ability to have a schedule that allows you to be present with people, whether that's having folks over for dinner or being at gospel community. All of that starts to get eclipsed by my kids have a game, my kids have a practice, my kids have to be here, my kids have to be there. And I mean, they're, you know, outside of the church, I would say this, for much of especially suburban America, if the church isn't the orienting principle of your life, it tends to be youth sports. I mean, just go to mm-hmm. a neighborhood where there's lots of families and you will find that usually what drives the sort of family schedule is kids' activities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's certain areas in Omaha where people move there, A, for the school district, but also for the sports. It's not maybe not as explicitly said, but it's definitely in the back of their mind.
Well, and every high school has a feeder program now for almost every sport that starts at fourth grade, fifth grade. I mean, it gets really young, right? Where you got 11-year-olds that we got to get this kid on the varsity high school football team, and it starts now.
Well, we're sitting in the middle of Omaha, so, and I'm a baseball guy, and we talk baseball already, but I'm aware of people I know who they quit their day job, Chris, to work on one of those feeder teams. Basically, the dads had this coalition of like, hey, Chris, why don't you quit your day job and just coach our kids' team at 9 or 10 years old? This is what you're going to do with your life and vocation. And whoa. Because like, you're the guy who's going to coach our 10-year-old and we need your whole life. So don't work anymore.
And
just
we will
do
pay
this.
You to do this?
Yes. At like 10, 11-year-old kids. Wow. For these feeder wow. teams. I mean, this stuff is happening and we don't talk about it all the time.
And so this is a place where, you know, if you just look at the statistics, right, just do the math. How many 10-year-olds are going to get a college scholarship? Very few. And usually, you know what? I can usually tell you which 10-year-old it is.
Yeah.
The kid right now who plays at Bellevue West, who's the best player in the state of Nebraska, I think just signed a letter of intent with Wisconsin, mm-hmm. Grew up with my kids, went to homeschool stuff with my kids. And that kid at age 10, you knew like, this kid is an amazing athlete. Yeah. Like he's just off the charts. He's the protege. Yeah. It's not because he was the same as your kid in the same league working at the same place. He just has a freakish athletic talent and you could see that early on. And look, if you're a parent and you have one of those kids, okay, look, give him some opportunities, get him in some good leagues. You know, that's kind of a 1 in 1,000 kind of situation. Mm-hmm. For most of us, your kid's going to be an average kid. he or she is going to play sports or be involved in activities. And then they're going to grow up and go to high school. And then they're going to be done with sports.
And they're going to need to do
something
else.
And they're going to play intramurals in college. And they're going to, you know, they're going to play frisbee golf on the weekends or whatever.
Or go to small college. Some people go to some, which is different than big money.
Right.
You know, Division I.
Yeah. So, and you know, again, sometimes you have a kid who, man, this is how you're going to keep them on the straight and narrow, is they just need to be investing in a lot of sport because that's what keeps them sort of oriented and focused. So there is freedom of conscience here for parents to sort of, I don't want parents to feel guilty for putting their kids into athletic opportunities. But what I do want is I want to ask Christian parents especially to have a sense of biblical wisdom here, mm-hmm. and to lead proactively rather than respond reactively, because here's what's going to happen. Your kids will be in school or in a neighborhood with a bunch of other kids. Those bunch of other kids, their whole life is oriented around youth sports. They're going to play 3 or 4 sports a year. They're going to go from soccer season to basketball season to, you know, just the, it's a revolving door, whichever season is next. And your kids are going to come home and say, hey, Dad, so-and-so down the street's playing soccer. Can I play soccer too? And maybe the answer is yes, but it's fine if the answer is no. If it's fine if the answer is actually, son, you know what? I know you, I've seen you. I think basketball is your sport. We're not going to try soccer. You know,
we're definitely not trying soccer at our house, but I'm kidding.
And so Dusty, I'd love to hear, you know, how have you, you've got 6 kids, they're all different. How have you thought, like, do you sort of say, hey, 1 or 2 sports per kid? Or do you say, hey, let them try a bunch of things and pick one that they're good at? How have you thought through how you help them sort of make these decisions?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because you're right about all the sports all the time. That's always happening. It feels like people are just reacting to this. So these are the kids that, or these are the situations that your kids are always interacting with. Well, so-and-so is playing soccer. They're doing lacrosse. They're doing all these things, karate, taekwondo, all the stuff. Like it's all every night, by the way, like baseball practice, change in the car, go to taekwondo, you know, actually I have that story where I was playing on 2 baseball teams one time in high school. And then I was playing on this other league. And I personally was thinking, what am I doing right now? I'm like, literally changing in the car, going to another game. This is a bad idea, right? Okay. Different family. Our rule at our house is 1 sport per kid at a time. So never any overlapping sports. So we don't do anything that would overlap. So if like, the way that would work in Omaha is like soccer would overlap with baseball. So you got to pick. We do a lot of baseball, just cause that seems to register the most with our kids. And we do dance, but we don't do dance to all of the ways you could do dance. I mean, whatever you do, you could be all in, right? So you got to temper that. The other thing that we are very convicting about is you, and we have stories here of we skip stuff on Sundays. So you mentioned this, Bob. And when we coached together, we didn't talk about this, but when we coached together, one of our strategies was,
yeah, that was our way of not having games on Sundays. We're just like, well, we can make the schedule. We can just not play on Sundays.
And you go to the coaches meeting and you got to make the schedule. And they're like, well, we got Sunday. We got a field Sunday. We're like, nope, doesn't work for us. Sorry. And we didn't even explain why. We're just like, well, we're just not playing on Sundays. And then we told our families, hey, here's our games. We're not playing on Sundays, with an occasional tournament here or there, maybe. So that's our commitment. And the reason we have that commitment is not just because of Sabbath, but it's also because there's proof in the pudding when it comes to watching people. You mentioned earlier, Bob, the deforming influences, what we have to lean into and what we have to lean away from. My wife and I know families personally where sport was everything. They were Christians, but sport just dominated the family calendar to the point where I can say that those 2 young men are not walking with the Lord. My wife would say it's because they didn't think about the calendar and church was like an elective.
If we can make it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Church was an, we'll be there.
Yeah. Church was an elective. Good community was an elective. It was a good idea. It was just another idea though. So this dominates, and then, like you said, they grow up, they go to high school, and then sport is over for the most part. So,
but I haven't built the habit of church being a priority.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to even frame it maybe, quote unquote, less extreme than.
So you're saying Dusty was extreme?
No, no. Wow. Well, the example of not walking with the Lord at all.
Sure.
There could be a shallowness to your Christian faith too. I think this is something where in my experience as a pastor and just life, seeing this happen a lot, where it's not necessarily that they aren't walking with the Lord, but there's a there's a shallowness, pragmatism, where you can say, yeah, you're a believer, but it's like, does Jesus have your heart? Mm. Because other things, it was always the choice of something else. And it just affects the way that they live as far as how present they are in community and to the degree that they're actually pursuing the Lord in the ways that we call people to. So even that end, I think this whole topic sort of raises the question of how mature of a disciple are you trying to raise to some degree? Are you just like, okay, they're a believer, so I'm okay. And we're just kind of content with that, got that box checked. Or is there a sense of, no, I want my son or daughter to have a thriving, deep, vibrant walk with the Lord. And we're going to orient our schedule to make sure that that is the direction they're headed. So it even gets to, in my mind, so much of this gets to like, what do you really want for your kid? Like, how far with Jesus do you want them to go? And do you think that depth of following Christ is just sort of an accident? Or do you think that it actually is built through how you're raising them and what you're calling them to give priority to?
Yeah. And the thing I would add to that, Chris, is, I don't think we're always thinking about like, well, if it's just that one Sunday, we'll be fine, right? But the other thing that we tend not to think about is, what am I doing when I'm making my kid skip a baseball game or skip this on a Sunday to be a part of what's more important, what is normal for the family? And also, we're not going to orient our family around this one kid's particular thing.
Yeah. So a couple of stories. We have to go back to a podcast or two ago when we talked about Mark Sayer's book and his focus on practices and rhythms. So our sons still play high school baseball together, and there's an Orthodox Jewish kid on the team. That kid just isn't showing up on Saturdays. And it's just like, he's not in the building. He's not anywhere nearby. He's not sitting on the bench in plain clothes. He's just not there. And the whole team's like, oh yeah, it's Saturday, so Danny's not coming, you know? And I feel convicted of like, you know, it's a Christian high school. I'm just like, well, you know what's funny about that is it's the Jewish kid that actually has the practice that the practice is just non-negotiable. And you know, it's just like, he's a great kid and he's there every other day except Saturday because that's the Jewish Sabbath. And so I wonder, in the same way as we think as Christian parents, what does our non-involvement, what does it communicate to the watching world, to the rest of the team, to the people around us? I don't think it communicates, hey, we're pulling out, we don't care. I think it communicates something matters to us more than this event, this opportunity, this chance to play a game. Mm-hmm. When my oldest son was 10, or maybe 9, he started playing Little League baseball, or didn't start playing, but went to a new league. And I had this conversation with the coach at the beginning of the year. I said, hey, look, we're a Christian family. We have convictions about the Lord's Day. I'd like your permission for my son, if we have any Sunday games, for him not to come.
Weirdo.
It was the most amazing conversation I've had in a long time. The coach looked at me. He's like, hey, that's fantastic. I found out he was a Catholic guy and a devout Catholic. And he's like, I absolutely respect that. I wish more families had that kind of conviction. You don't even have to explain it to anyone. Just feel free to not show up on Sundays. It won't hurt his role in the team at all. He'll have the same kind of opportunities. I think that's great. And so that was just our practice for a long time. And then when Dusty and I started coaching together, that was our scheme was, hey, how can we just get in a place of control and power where we can use the right power that's given to a coach to just say, well, we're just not going to play on Sundays, not by forfeiting games, but just by not scheduling them in the first place. Cause we figured out, oh, that's the power that you have as a coach, is you can build your own schedule. So these are little subtle ways that we're trying to be countercultural and say, hey, we're going to carve out a conviction about how we set boundaries around this. Mm-hmm. Where you'll start to appreciate this is when your kids start getting to the age where they're shaping their own convictions and they start to care about, well, we got to be there. Like, we got to be at church today. And they're not asking like, well, Dad, I mean, I got a baseball game. Do I have to go to church? They're asking the opposite question. They're saying, hey, there's a baseball game on the calendar, but I assume we're not going because we're going to be at church, right? Like, they start to articulate those convictions for themselves because they've assimilated them from the practice of the family. And I think that's the kind of discipleship we're going for, where there's an ownership of, hey, something matters to us more than competition and more than sport and more than being at the field.
Yeah. A couple of things you've said, Bob, also have provoked this thought too, that somewhat going back to your point that not everybody is going to be a Division I level athlete. But regardless of whatever level your child might become, there is this reality that at some point they will stop playing sports.
No way. Tom Brady hasn't yet.
I don't think he's a human being. I think he's like some kind of robot or something. But yes, even at some point, time will catch up to Tom Brady. I had a good friend growing up. We went to different high schools our last 3 years of high school, but this friend was all state in basketball all 4 years, won state championships all 4 years, set all kinds of school records. So legit athlete, went to junior college, won a national championship at junior college level, then went to play D1 last 2 years. And when this friend of mine stopped playing, so college was it, completely lost. Lost sense of identity, just was kind of listless for a while. Thankfully, not the case anymore, but the entirety of growing up, and we were neighbors, it was sports, 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 sports. Worth was measured in how successful. Failure meant just a ton of guilt, and there was just this drivenness that brought a lot of success. But at the same time, there was a consequence on the other end of that. And so I think for parents, you also have to recognize that what your kids are most devoting their time to, there is a sense of identity that is built into that. It's just going to happen. And so if you're communicating, hey, the most important thing for you is to be playing sports, whether you don't mean to say this, there's still something that's going to be communicated that value and identity is in that thing. So there needs to be some reflection on this. Is to what degree are you building your kid's identity into sports, something that is so temporary, regardless of how good you are, and what are going to be the long-term consequences of that? So not to say that, you know, there's a ton of things that this could be, you could apply this to, but because of, as you point out, Bob, because of the predominance of youth sports and the role that it is playing and how it can really just completely consume the life of a kid, I think this is a particularly potent danger that you have to be mindful of.
It's also really interesting, Chris, to like, we have these people in our church, you know, like legit athletes, the D1 athletes that you're talking about, professional athletes that are now working at, you know, a different profession now because they've hung it up for whatever reason. It's really interesting to talk to them and to kind of hear their story of, yeah, I did that, or my parents did that. And I had that unique gifting. And so I did the whole thing and ran the whole gamut and gave it my all. But also missed out on a lot because of the devotion. So there is that sense of course correction later on for some of these people who, by God's grace, mature, see it as like, oh, life isn't all about sport, apparently. So I have to get busy living now. It's really interesting to sit with them and hear their stories and their perspective on their families and on what sport will look like. And it's always lesser than what they did. Their perspective is very sobering. Like, yeah, we'll do it and I'll probably coach, but not nearly to the extent of which I gave my body away to that thing.
Yeah. All right. So let me give you a few rules of thumb. If you're a parent and you're raising kids and you want to navigate this, okay. And again, rules of thumb, meaning like these are not rules. You don't have to follow these. These are just my wisdom from having walked this road. Number one, maybe two activities per kid per year. Like just tell each of your kids, hey, we're going to let you do a couple things. You know, maybe a spring sport and a fall sport or whatever. Or if they're into dance or they're into music or they're into something like that, gymnastics, great. But pick one or two and let them each do one or two. That is an easy enough investment, even if you have lots of children, that you can reasonably juggle it and manage it. Rule of thumb number two, make clear to them that that's secondary, that everything is negotiable. Like, they do not have to be at every practice. They don't have to be at every single event. There will be times where the family calendar takes priority. If you're going to go on a family vacation and they're going to miss some games, you don't want to have to put up with pouting for your whole family vacation. So establish early, hey, we're going to let you do this, but it's not a non-negotiable. Sometimes we're going to have to miss practice or miss a game or, you know, you're not going to be able to be there. Rule of thumb number three, for as long as you can, play simple in-house leagues. Okay. Let me give you,
preach.
You need to give a lexicon here. I had to learn all this from scratch and it was very difficult. So here's your lexicon. In youth sports, there's what's called in-house teams, which are just, you know, it's like the YMCA. You got 7-10 teams in the YMCA and you're competing against each other and it's any kid can play. Okay. So it's that kind of thing. And there was, you know, Dusty and I know the little leagues, in Omaha really well. And so there's Hillside and there's Suburban and there's Millard and there's all these little leagues. And the idea is they all have in-house competition where it's like, you know, the 12 teams in that little league all play each other. Then there's what they call select teams, which is we take the best kids from the tryout and we make a better team and we play citywide against other select teams.
Select.
Now, here's the trick.
You subtly sell your soul.
Yeah, you do. You really do. And here's the trick. So to make youth sports profitable, the youth sports industrial complex, which is a thing, is pushing select sports down earlier and earlier. So you can be on a 7-year-old select baseball team. Show me a 7-year-old who's a good enough baseball player that he can't play against other 7-year-olds in his neighborhood. Like, they just don't exist. So you can get away. Your rule of thumb needs to be, for as long as you can do it, just let your kids play in-house. Here's why. It's a way less of a financial investment. It's way less of a time investment, and it's still going to be fun competition, and they're going to get plenty of opportunity to grow. And again, if you have good coaches in your league, they're going to get good development. And if you're a parent and you volunteer and help, that's how these things thrive and work. And we want to see the flourishing of simple neighborhood-driven youth sports organizations, the same thing that's driven sports in America for decades and decades and decades. That's what gives the most kids the most opportunity to enjoy sport. Okay. Now, when your kid gets to age somewhere between 11 and 13, okay, so it's sort of the threshold of middle school, here's what starts to happen, and I can speak to this from experience. The level of skill required becomes great enough that kids who aren't good at sports stop having fun playing because they're just getting destroyed and they start dropping out, you know, so they find that they're good at basketball, but not good at baseball. So they start to say, hey, I'm going to focus on basketball. I'm not going to play baseball. It's not fun anymore. So what happens is if your child is good at baseball, you start to have to ask the question, where can they continue to get developed and compete at a high level that continues to develop them, especially if they have aspirations to play, you know, in high school. And so at about age 12, I think it's appropriate to say you might spend a couple years doing a select team just because that's where you need to be to get the appropriate development. I think it's really unwise to do that before you need to. And it's really unwise to do that, to push your kid into that. And again, for a lot of parents, there's identity here of like, my kid has to be the best. And so I can't tell you how many kids we coach that dad was the one whose identity was really on the line. It wasn't the kid. It was dad's identity that was on the line. And the kid was going to hear about it on the way home. And any coach or anyone who's coached youth sports will tell you that's an epidemic. So what you want is to be the kind of parent who says, hey, I want my kids to thrive. I want them to have fun. I want to give them the development they need. So select sports should be for later on in childhood. And the longer you can stay out of that, I think the better. And then honestly, the third, or I don't know if I'm on third or fourth or fifth rule, my next rule of thumb, which this will turn into a short sermon and we'll conclude. But the next rule of thumb would just be, by the time your kid is 13, 14, make them pick a sport or maybe two. You know, rare is the person who in high school is going to be a three-sport athlete anymore. Just it's hard to do because even at the high school level, unless you're a freakish athletic talent, the coaches want more. They want you to focus on their sport. So, you know, for our kids, we sort of, by the time they were in early teenage years, we were trying to funnel them and say, hey, looks like baseball is your thing. Why don't you focus on that? Hey, looks like volleyball is your thing. Let's just have you focus on that. That way we don't have to keep, you know, asking the question every year, hey, do you want to play this or that? And you kind of know where you're going to focus your time and energy. And all of this is really about how do you as a parent lead spiritually in your family rather than playing catch up to the reactive world of sport that you're going to find yourself in if your kids go to a school or have friends, because this is what's driving everybody else's life around you.
One quick thought, Bob, that triggered when you were talking there was there are listeners here, especially other moms and dads who are probably more fired up than their kids are, right? So we've talked about how, hey, this is shaping your kid. This is also shaping you. So you might be the parent or the coach listening who's like, well, I didn't have this opportunity, so I'm going to afford it. I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to clear this pathway for my kid. And you haven't yet seen how your identity has shifted a little bit into that. And so there, I'm not saying don't be competitive, don't not coach, but just temper your own motivations as well. And think through, what are you getting out of this? That seems a little, might be a little off, honestly. So not only are you after this for your own kids, church, family, et cetera, but the Lord's doing something in you too, and He wants to be doing something in you, even as you reconsider and reshuffle the deck on, why am I so passionate about this? Why am I so into this? So we gotta take stock there all the time.
All right. So to sum up our conversation, a gospel perspective on youth sport looks like this: enjoy what it does for the character formation of your kids. Enjoy how healthy competition forms us as image bearers of God. But man, resist the idolatry, resist the way that it begins to shape your calendar, and understand that, to go back to a James K. Smith thing that we have talked about years ago, right? We're formed by what we repeatedly do. So if your calendar is shaped by youth sport, what that's going to form in your kids is a certain kind of life, a certain kind of set of priorities and values. What we want is for our life to be formed around the kingdom of God, for our family calendar to be formed around the mission of God, and for sport to fit in an appropriate way that is subservient to God, His kingdom, His church, His people, and the importance of our lives existing to glorify Him. So thanks to the listener for the question that you sent that spurred us to talk about this. And I'm sure I probably what will happen is this will spur additional questions from listeners,
man.
Who,
yeah,
you
come
know,
on.
So send them in. If you got more things you want us to talk about related to the youth sport industrial complex.
Except soccer. We're not going to talk about soccer.
Yeah.
Right.
No soccer questions. We refuse.
Just making sure.
Also, Dusty, if you want me to quit my job as a pastor just to coach.
Chris and I are working on a little deal.
10-year-old select teams, I'm in.
You can do that?
Sign me up.
What a gig, right?
Man, that's the gig I want.
You got to win, though.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. I probably wouldn't be your first guy on the list then.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We love to hear from listeners. So if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Wednesday for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.